351, June 9, 7. The sinner, that by precious faith, has felt his sins forgiven, is from that moment passed from death, and still a hair and hair of heaven. June 9, 7.
Thank you. from the 61st chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah and reading verse 3. The third verse of the 61st chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. All the precious things of the Word of God are to that end, to the glorification of God. Oh, that we could be more and more mindful of it. But one felt concerning our text, to appoint unto them that mourn. To mourn is something which old nature would depart from. It is something which one feels, especially the young and rising race, we don't want to hear anything of mourning. But it's a part and portion of the living people of God to mourn. Now God, in the word before us, and I do feel, I hope, a little of the blessedness of it, to proclaim. And what God has proclaimed in his faithfulness and in his almighty power, what he has proclaimed. His word proclaims the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But here the proclamation of God is to them, to appoint unto them that mourn. God's purpose in that dispensation of his appointing unto his people, there are those who mourn. And it thus would set before us, unto them that mourn. There is a people who mourn. And I do feel, friends, what is our religion if it has no mourning in it? When the true light of God penetrates into that sin-darkened soul, it illuminates and reveals the truth of God. And if we are brought by the grace of God to receive the truth of God, it declares in us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. No exceptions. And that is the source of real mourning with that living soul is brought to mourn. To proclaim unto them the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to proclaim and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. There is a natural mourning. We all know there is a natural mourning, but this sets forth the mourning of those in Zion. That true mourning, as wrought by the true light of God, bringing home into our hearts by faith what we are in the sight of God. And that mourning will be something which will accompany the child of God down to the grave. Dear friends, you may feel that's a solemn declaration. It's a true declaration in the souls of the righteous, where God has appointed and applied that holiness and purity by the Spirit of God, because we shall hate the sin that dwells in us. But my mind was somewhat drawn to this because one feels there's so much today to bring a mourning upon the people of God, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And there's much in Zion which we have to mourn over. The little too that's known savingly of the grace of God and the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ in what he has wrought. And we speak of it because it's little we feel of it. We would know and feel it more. But it brings a mourning within. Because, and I feel this is something which all, every true exercised child of grace is brought to know and feel. I was looking while she was singing, my mind is, cannot grasp or retain for long, but there is a word by one of the hymns of Mr. Gadsby's, mourning souls who feel the smart of a guilty, treacherous heart. That's my heart by nature. Is it yours? And with mighty care and pain, struggle hard, relief to gain. Labor hard you may and long, but you'll find your foes too strong. Solid peace can ne'er be had only through a Saviour's blood. Oh, what good news then this is to those mourning souls. And is there not much to bring mourning into our hearts? The more I strove, and it's something, friends, day by day, the more I strove against sin's power, I sin and stumble, but the more. That is, but for the grace of God in exercise, we are there. And that treacherous heart, how treacherous, how indifferent by nature to God and godliness, to appoint unto them the mourn. This is true mourning, friends, that mourns and grieves over your the sins of your own heart. Because of the love of sin and the power of sin that dwells within. And you have no power or might over that great company within. And that soul is brought to know it. And yet, in our natural mind, often there is a striving in and of ourselves. And yet, that will avail us nothing. How true is the poet in that? We may be left, and some do, and we all do in measure, especially when young, in the way there's a striving in us to make ourselves, as it were, right and acceptable in the sight of God. But what a mourning there is, friends, today, in Zion. When we see the few that gather in the means of grace. And then we go perhaps into the towns or villages and we see the great multitudes, as it were, in the queues for the love of pleasure, to satisfy the greed of nature, and yet running the way of destruction. Oh, but these mourners, the word of God, the Lord Jesus, said, blessed are they that mourn. They're a blessed people. Oh, to feel that blessing pronounced upon you if you really and truly mourn. We mourn sometimes, do we not? Because we seem to make so little advancement, spiritually so, in the things of grace. You may look at others, perhaps blessed, and seem to make such advancements. But oh, the Lord knows that real advancement spiritually, which is wrought by His Spirit, deep in your heart it lies. And though damped, it can never die. We may have a flourishing outward religion, destitute of the power of God within our breast. But how solemn to have such a religion, friends. That which is of the Spirit of God will stand every test and live at last and live in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other living. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. What a wonderful word. Beauty for ashes. Where is the beauty? Oh, I feel the psalmist refers sometimes to the beauty and glory of thy salvation. And where does it dwell? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know in this same prophecy, there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. What a declaration. But there it is in that 53rd chapter. There was no beauty in him that we should desire him. There is no beauty in him until the Lord reveals that beauty. that glorious God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was despised and set at naught. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And did we not, and have we not hid, as it were, our faces from him, and would disown him, until the Lord brings and sets before faith the beauty of the Lord in Christ Jesus. The suitability in the furtherance of the work of grace, there is a suitability to the need of that mourning soul. And there is a mourning after him. And I wouldn't leave this mourning out, friends. Because if the Lord has revealed to your poor soul a little of the glorious beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ in his atoning sacrifice and of the precious blood that was shed for the remission of sin, what a glorious beauty there is there. And your soul will mourn after him. And that's a blessed mourning. A mourning which the Lord will bless the soul in that mourns, and in its prayer and supplication longs and pants after a further, deeper revelation. Wants to know him more. It was so even in the dear Apostle Paul. Though the Lord had blessed him so deeply in the things, far beyond others, yes, and yet that I might know him and the power of his resurrection was the mourning desire of his heart. Oh, I would say to you, is it yours, dear friend? Is it yours? Do we know what it is to have a little mourning in your breast after him? You want to know. You want a further revelation of him. Oh, you want the Lord to reveal in a deeper sense the beauty. You feel there is a beauty, and there is a beauty in him. What a beauty there is in his person, in his glorious person, that sinless being, the Son of God, who took upon him our nature, but without sin, that he might become the sin bearer of his people, to bear them away. Oh, what wonders God has wrought savingly in that work of salvation. That what the Lord Jesus has done, he has borne the sins of his people, and he has borne them away. I mean this, friends, you may feel, and feel your sinnership. The child of God will. But there will be seasons when the Lord will so blessedly reveal to your soul that you stand in that perfect holiness and purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That your sins, which are many, are all forgiven you. They're taken out of the way. Yes. And everlastingly so. And yet, I know, dear friends, we find perhaps the Lord may so bless you today to feel that holiness. You stand in that perfect holiness which the Lord Jesus has wrought out, and in that righteousness. But tomorrow you may feel the stains of sin, your heart plagued, as it were, with it. So that there is, as I said just now, down to the grave, there will be seasons of mourning over your treacherous heart, so willing, as it were, to sin against the God I love. And deep in your heart, there is that love of God wrought. And yet, old nature, in its power and its willingness and its love to sin, we falter, friends. And but for the grace of God, and how it brings a soul, how it brings a soul to pray for grace. Oh, to pray, to look again unto Jesus, to draw from that fainting again living waters, that your soul may be revived and refreshed by faith in what the Lord Jesus has done. But to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Now those ashes seem to speak of what there is in us. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? He gives beauty for ashes. And what can we give in return? The Lord receives nothing at our hands. He desires nothing but thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory unto his great and holy name, and glory to his grace, the grace of God, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that should bring that beauty into a believer's heart by faith, to behold that beauty that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. What beauty there is in life for death. I found in reading, and it seems to set forth, it has a spiritual view of the coming of the Lord Jesus. When we read, for brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. And I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. It's the building, it's the exchange. And here, to appoint, to give unto them beauty for ashes. And that beauty appears. How that beauty appears, I mean the fruits of it. There is a beauty, and what a glorious beauty there is in the fruits of faith and love in the Lord Jesus. That is, in the fruits that appear from sovereign grace and love in a poor sinner's life. David speaks of a view he saw by faith, that thou wouldst have mercy upon me as thou usest to do upon those that love thy name. And he saw, it would seem, David saw such a beauty which his very soul coveted in those which God was merciful unto. And he wanted the Lord and prayed unto the Lord that he would have such mercy upon him as he had seen that mercy, what he had seen the effects and fruits of the beauty of God as reflected in their lives, the fruits of that manifested beauty of the Lord Jesus to faith, and it was seen in the lives of those whom the Lord loved. Oh, what a mercy, friends, if there is that manifestation in our lives. It's not all what we may talk, dear friends. No. True religion lies deep in the heart. It's a secret work of God, but I know, and we would not hide, as it were, that glorious light under a bushel, no, God forbid, but there is such a thing as lip service destitute in the walk and in the conversation, friends. But that true light will be manifested as David saw and beheld those whom God had been merciful to and whom God loved and he coveted, what he saw in them. And doubtless some of you have. I know I have. In those younger days especially, when I looked upon some of the dear saints of God, as I believe them to be, why, there was a spirit of covetousness in my heart. Oh, that the Lord, it brought forth a spirit of prayer, a pleading unto the Lord, O Lord, that thou wouldst bless me with the same grace as manifested in the lives of thy dear saints. No, that's not a wrong covetousness, no. That's not coveting the things of this world, friends. But it's coveting the riches of sovereign grace, the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich. And the word of God exhorts us, covet earnestly the best gifts. Beauty for ashes. Oh, I know the time is very short, friends, but what a beauty there is when the Lord, by his Spirit, reveals the suitability of the Lord Jesus. When one is brought like dear John, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And when the Lord brings you, as it were, before this truth and implants it in your own heart, and you're brought there by faith to have a glimpse as revealed to you. Oh, what a blessing, friends. How it revives, how your heart goes out in love and faith to that bleeding lamb, the suffering Lamb of God. Why, it increases that mourning for a further knowledge of it, that you might have a stronger faith, as it were, and a greater revelation and manifestation to your poor soul, that you might drink, as it were, more deeply, sacredly, into the holiness and purity that you want it. You want your very soul to be taken up by it. And that will bring forth a hatred to the sin that dwells in you. Oh, it will. It will bring, I hate myself because of sin. My own wicked heart. My dangerous thoughts that spring up, and the wicked desires of my inmost mind. Oh, that I had not of myself, but beauty, the Lord to appoint unto you this beauty. He looks, the Father looks. This is the essence of it. The Father looks upon the sinner through what the Lord Jesus has done. He who sitteth at the right hand of God and sits there and intercedes as that great high priest on their behalf, and reveals the marks. Oh, it's too great, dear friends. It is often for our poor, finite minds. But what the Lord reveals, your soul, by faith and love, will hold fast. Yes, it's yours. And no man taketh it from you. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. The Lord spake to those disciples concerning that joy. He says, ye now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Oh, the blessings, friends, no man taketh it from you. Hey, the Lord spake that wonderful truth to those disciples when or just before that feast, when he dipped, as it were, the bread into the sop, put the bread into that sop, and gave it to Judas. And ye know have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Ah, there is a rejoicing. It's not all mourning, but the one is set over against the other. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy, no man taketh it from you. The oil of joy. It seems the very essence of joy. The oil of joy for mourning. What a glorious exchange, friends, to rejoice. Ye mourning souls, rejoice. You have something to rejoice over, something to rejoice in, if the Lord has brought home to your heart, your very soul, this beauty that is in the Lord Jesus, and now in measure dwells in your heart, and your faith feasts upon it, the beauty that is in here, the joy for mourning, the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. Ah, there is a heavy heart. We often view in Zion heavy hearts. The Lord sometimes, he withholds his gracious presence. Ah, you may come as you've come, and some of you know it too well. You may come as you've come into the house of God this evening. And you came, and the Lord knows just how we came. But you may have come with a longing heart, feeling like David when in the cave he longed for the waters of Bethlehem, just to see, and there was that longing in his heart. And you may have come this evening with a longing in your heart, that the Lord would bring, as it were, this garment of praise upon you, for the spirit of heaviness. And perhaps the Lord seems to pass you by. However good and blessed the sermon may be to some, the Lord seems to pass you by. And you mourn, you mourn. Ah, you go home perhaps more mourning than you came. Mourning over your emptiness, your poverty. Mourning, feeling the Lord has passed you by. He has not looked upon you in his love and in his pity. And the enemy comes in like a flood into your soul. And would lay you low. But, my dear friends, that mourning soul takes that mourning to a throne of grace. And the Lord will not resist that mourning soul that cries in prayer and supplication in its trouble and calls upon the Lord in that day of trouble. The Lord will hearken and hear, and he will, to that soul that is brought to call upon him in such mourning, the Lord will bring the spirit of praise, that your soul will praise the Lord for reviving, turning your mourning into joy, putting, as it were, a song in your mouth, as the Lord did David, when he said, he has raised me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he hath put a song in my mouth. Oh, what a song of praise, a new song in my mouth, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Well, there is a spirit of heaviness. I feel today many of the Lord's dear servants have a spirit of heaviness. They feel it. It's something real to them because in all their labors there's so little fruitfulness. You will labor with your hands and mind in natural things, and how disappointed you are if there's no fruits to your labors. There is something, I believe, which nature does hate, to labor in vain, to have no fruits to your labor. But how much more spiritually, in the heart and mind of a true servant of God, who labors and labors and beholds very little fruits to his labors. But blessed be his dear name. There are a few springs in Zion, friends. There are a few hearts that spring forth from mourning into joy, that can bless the Lord for his goodness and praise him for a helping hand. There are such, and we bless the Lord for it. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Nothing of their own, but the planting of the Lord. We have in the previous chapter that we've read concerning it, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planted, are they grown where the Lord has planted grace, a living faith and love shed abroad in the heart. The planting of the Lord. No man can bring these things into his own heart. You may mourn because you can't. But if in reality you will be brought rightly by the teaching of God, that you'll have to cry unto the Lord for it. He who has put the desire will bring that soul to a throne of grace to cry unto him for it. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's the right hand planting of the Lord. And nothing shall, as it were, root it out. It may begin in very feeble desires. It may begin in very quiet longings. It may begin with an aching void in your heart that the world can't fill. A dissatisfaction, I don't mean to be dissatisfied with God's mercies, temporal blessings, but to feel they avail your soul nothing. There's an aching void in your heart which wants divine realities, heavenly blessings, solid joys. It cannot rest or be satisfied with the things of time and sense. I feel I can truly say, dear friends, and are very mindful when I walked home from my labors when 17 years old with that aching void in my heart. And I couldn't have told anyone what my soul wanted. No. But the Lord knows, because I solemnly feel and blessedly feel God was the author of it. There was nothing in the things of time that would fill that place in my heart. And what I wanted, I couldn't have told anyone. But the Lord knows. But trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. He will be glorified. And that will be the end. The ultimate end of all God's visitations and blessing unto the soul of his people. To this end, that his name, the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all united in the salvation of sinners, to be glorified. Oh, what blessings God draws out of some of the vilest of sinners' hearts to glorify God. I believe that dying thief, in his dying moments, glorified God for the blessings he had received. And always we find through it, and it's to this end. And if God has revealed to you and me a little of that glorious beauty and brought out, I mean something tasted, experienced. For the things of God are experienced. We know naturally, we have a natural life, it hungers, it thirsts, it has a need, a much more spiritually, friends. And if we have that spirit of divine life, the new creature, there will be the longings, the pantings, the thirstings, the needs known and felt. We shall want what no man can bestow upon us, and it will bring us to a throne of grace. Of the Lord's planted, well, the devil often tries to root it up. He does indeed. But he never can and he never will. For the joy no man taketh it from you. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Lord, well, Mr. Wood is expected to preach here on Friday and next week. Let us close with hymn number 263, tune 356. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. What souls by their souls are born, and had for sin, they daily mourn. 163 to 356.
Thank you.
O Lord, do pardon all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in us. Take us now into thy care and keeping. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.